the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Sean Quinn and Mick Norton in the studio. It's Huntingdon and Sedgefield domestically. We've also got racing over in Ireland from Navan. So three jumps meetings to look forward to this Sunday. And my name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to them is Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Mark Walton.
How are you, sir?
What a legend. Yes. In good form, mate. In good form.
Good. Now, before we get stuck into Sunday's racing, Andy, we're about a week and a half away from the Cheltenham Festival.
We are.
And a bit of news that I reckon you'll find quite interesting. Shark Allen's considering the Ryanair with Hidden Cyclone.
Yeah.
Anybody who listened to your preview that we did about a month or so ago would know that he's one of your strong fancies for the festival.
He is, yes. Rather unnervingly for me, anyway. Shark Allen's thinking of jumping ship. I just think he's choosing the wrong race. He's going for the easier option in his mind, but I think Hidden Cyclone's a better horse over 2 miles. I think he's a good horse over 2.5.
Yep.
And a lot depends on the ground, doesn't it? I think that's the key issue, isn't it? If it dries out, he's obviously going to consider the 2.5 mile race. Of course, he was second last year to Dynast. And it is a bit of a deeper champion chase than we normally would have. With probably a field of 6, maybe 7 horses, possibly to lift the crown on any given day. But if it remains the same and the current ground is soft, with unsettled period between now and then, I still think he'll run in the champion chase. And his speed figures this year over 2 miles have just been, you know, very, very, very good. So I'm hoping he stays put in the champion chase.
He's 16-1 with us for the Ryanair. 12-1 for the Queen Mother Champion Chase, but we are not running money back in that race, so
yeah,
no harm done if he doesn't run in that.
Well, that's the key. Lump on the Champion Chase, non-runner, no bet. And then as soon as he's declared for the Ryanair, just take your money out, cash your chips in, and then back in whatever price he is in the Ryanair.
Fair enough.
Well, I think he'll be a big play in whatever race he runs in. It wouldn't really bother me either way. I just think he's a very good horse.
Okay. Any other very good horses on the shortlist that you want to just chuck at us before we move on?
Yeah, I've had a few more bets this morning, funny enough. I backed Don Poley for the RSA. I finally come to the conclusion that he will run in this race. And I think the field might cut up a little bit. I don't think there'll be a massive field. I think a lot of the horses are looking to run in other races. You know, your Valsalidos, your Konigrees maybe. Maybe the Young Master might run in the 4 miler. So three of his main market rivals, Vator as well, he's in the JLT.
Yeah.
Three or four of his main market rivals, as it stands, look like running in other races.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I wouldn't really bother if they all turned up. But either way, if we get the bonus of maybe two, maybe three not running, then that's more power to us, really. But I just think he's been the best novice this season. He's beat the best two horses, Apache Stronghold. You know, that good field in the Topaz. You know, the Topaz was the best novice chase this season. And he's beaten a really good yardstick in Apache Stronghold.
Yeah.
On the figures, he's the best horse I've got. And hopefully, Willie Mullins will end up running him the correct race.
Okay. Well, he's 3-1 in the RSA at the moment. Obviously, if some of the others that you mentioned there don't go, he'll probably short him from 3-1. So. Could be a good time to get on. Anything else?
Yeah, I backed Apache Stronghold for the JRT this morning. Took 6-1. I think he will run in this race. He's not got any other targets other than that. William Hill are currently 6-1. But he's the best horse, along with Visor Lido. I've got on my figures over that trip. Vator's still got it to prove. And Pete Zigg comes off the back of a fall. Gitane de Berlay, who's a real dangerous floater, runs in France tomorrow. So she's going to be out of the way. So that race all of a sudden now looks open. I think he'll shorten up as well.
Okay, good stuff. Well, we'll leave that there. We'll move on to Sunday's action. Andy's picked out three races for us at Sedgefield, and we'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Sunday. The first race we're going to look at is the 210 at Sedgefield, which is a Class 4 novices hurdle over 2.5 miles, six of them in the lineup here. And lovely job at the top of the weights there, Andy. He's probably going to be quite popular as well, given that he's won two of his three starts, and he's got plenty in his favour here, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. Former point-to-point winner, ran a decent third first time up in a half, decent contest at Bangor, one of his local tracks, of course, Donna McCain. Then first time over hurdles, made no mistake, made all the running, beat a horse of James Yates called Gil Nocky. Back in third was Dan Emmett, who's gone on to run quite well next time behind Champagne President at Ludlow. The time of the race is good. The last circuit was the fastest on the card. He seemed to stay really well. His jumping was accurate from the front, and I'm sure he'll be ridden positively again. Donna McCain's got a fantastic record at Sedgefield this season. It seems to be one of the tracks where all his horses are firing, whereas elsewhere they don't seem to be up to the same scratch. The two main dangers look to be Film Director and Red Danaher. I thought Film Director ran reasonably well behind our camper at Market Raisin in quite a decent contest. I'm sure he'll win a race sooner rather than later. And Red Danaher's a horse who's probably just been a little bit backward to do himself justice at the moment, but he's got that good run on his dance card. That second to Three Musketeers doesn't read too badly. Mm. Has gone on to win a Grade 2 at Warwick. He didn't stay the trip last time out at Haydock, but he's run quite well around the track as well. So he can be expected to run well, but lovely job. He's very much the one to beat. I like backing horses with penalties in novice hurdles. So yeah. I still think you get good value for them because the herd tends to bet against them.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And Donald McCain has won this race two of the last three renewals, and Sagada Tersey won this under a penalty. So
yeah, and I think the last meeting here he had a treble, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah.
I think he did. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so lovely job in the 210 at Sedgefield. The 340 is the next race that we look at, and this is a Class 4 mares handicap hurdle. Again, only six of them in the lineup here, Andy. Which ones do you like?
I like Sparkling Hand here. She's a course and distance winner, the only one in the field, so that's a positive. And that was on a soft surface a couple of seasons ago. She's only had the one run this year, but it was an eye-catching run as well behind Politburo at Newcastle. I thought she moved through that race really sweetly. I backed Politburo and I thought, oh no, surely not Sparkling Hand's going to come and do me first time off the shelf. But she just faded on the run-in. Couldn't quite live with the runner who'd had a couple of previous runs. And she sneaks in this handicap off a reasonable mark. Obviously, you've got to respect the top two, Raw Moll and what does the Fox say? Raw Moll has been a bit of a disappointment since joining Warren Graychick's from Willie Mullins. I don't think Warren's quite got the key to that horse yet. She's got a bit of back class that could prove troublesome if she's back to her best. And what does the Fox, I presume, will be favourite off the back of several good runs this season. But she was a bit disappointing last time out when slaughtered upwards of 30 lengths for one reason or another. So she comes into the race, you know, not probably in the kind of form you'd like about a short price favourite. So I'll go with Sparkling Hand.
Okay, Sparkling Hand then for Andy in the 340, and the final race we're going to look at is the 410 at Sedgefield. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.75 miles. Five of them go to post here, and you've got quite a contrast really. You've got Astigos, who's getting closer and knocking on the door, the likes of Montoya's Son, who has been winning and racked up a hat-trick, and Up and Go, who's maybe just starting a bit of a running sequence. Three in-form runners really.
Absolutely, Mark. This is an intriguing contest, this. But I'm going to go with Astigos, who I think has got the best form in this race by quite a margin. You know, his runs over fences so far have been of a decent standard. Third to Big Hands Harry at Ascot. Third behind Jovray Chambertin at Newbury. One of the strongest run handicap chases I've had this season on the figures. And that race was worked out really well. Khaki de la Prix, I thought, should have been Ned Stark at Weatherby next time out. He was second. He just got a bad start that day at Weatherby, and it allowed the King Run to get first run on him. Oscar Fortune was fifth. He won next time out with the blinkers on him at Haydock the other day. Leo Luna's won a couple of races since. That pulled up. Stroll Away Now went to Taunton. Won next time out. That pulled up. So we're dealing with really good form here. And Astigo himself, of course, went to Cheltenham next time out. And again, another very hot race. He was second to the very progressive Generous Ransom, who is one of the favourites for one of the novices handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival. Mm-hmm. Back in fourth was Carol's Destriere, who went to Ascot on its next start and won by 8 lengths, beating Clondor Knight, staying on very strongly. So again, that form's working out really well. Keel Hall was 10th. That's won subsequently. So both of those two races, the form is absolutely rock solid. The times of both races were very good in comparison to the others on the card. And he's only off a £3 high mark, £4 high mark. I'm surprised that he's coming here, actually. I thought he might have gone to Cheltenham. Maybe this is another run to get him to Cheltenham, perhaps to make sure he gets into the race. Because I'm not sure whether 122 will get in that handicap, because I think the ceiling's 140, isn't it? So that he's likely to miss out.
Get a penalty into
so they might as well run him while he's fit and well, and they've looked at the handicap and thought, oh my God, we're like number 50 on the list. We're never going to get in. The only way of getting in is either winning and winning handsomely, or just, if they don't get in, at least winning 6,000 quid on the way, on, you know, as a consolation.
Yeah.
So, he's head and shoulders above the rest on form.
Okay. Strong vote then.
Yeah. He'd probably be my nap tomorrow.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, good luck with
but you'll find out in the morning.
I was going to say that.
I've still got to go through a Navin yet.
Yeah, we'll be hearing from you for Navin as well, of course. Let's have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, lovely job in the first race under the penalty. Hopefully he might be odds against. Then I'll go with Sparkling Hand in the 340 in that mare's only handicap. Thought she ran well first time up the other day at Newcastle. My nap on the card is Astigo. That southern form at Cheltenham and Newbury should be good enough.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much. Good luck, Andy, and enjoy on Sunday.
Thanks, pal.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Sean Quinn and Mick Norton in the studio. Huntingdon and Sedgefield are the two meetings domestically. We've also got racing over in Ireland from Navan, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.